Sairam. My humble salutations at the lotus feet of my beloved Lord Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, my dear brothers and sisters, and all the people present here, Sairam, for giving me this opportunity to come here and share some of my experiences with Bhagwan. I thank everyone for having me here. As the previous two speakers spoke, you know, with so much love and so much knowledge they shared with all of us this morning, and as I was listening to them, you know, so many memories came back in my mind. And to just give a brief introduction of how I came to Bhagwan's fold, or rather, you know, how he got me to his fold. Who am I, you know? But it's interesting, all these words, as Ravi Mariwala mentioned, you know, doubting Thomas, you know, monkey, mad monkey, all these things really evoked so many, you know, experiences, and I'll share with you. My dad was in Navy, and that's how we, defense, and we moved to Bombay. And it's amazing. We all saw a picture of Swami where he was a small, you know, Ravi Mariwala showed a picture in Dharmakshetra. And this place, the name of this place is Andheri, which literally means, you know, it needs more light. And what an appropriate place for Bhagwan to install his temple and enlighten this beautiful lamp and so much love which he gave for years to come from that place. There's a small, you know, couplet which comes to my mind, which Kabir said. He said, even if I turn this or use this entire earth as a page, you know, if I took what, more than 3 trillion trees and used them as a pen and used the entire ink, which is, or the oceans as ink, and if I start to write about my guru, he says, still I cannot write his glory, his greatness. And it goes, sab dharti kagad karu lekhi sab banrai sat samudra ki masi karu guru gun likha na jaye re bhaiya guru gun likha na jaye. So Swami is not an ordinary guru. He is guru of gurus. How can you describe his glory? I mean, as you know, previous speakers, Goslin and Ravi said, we could be talking about Swami, his glory, his miracles for centuries to come. I was, you know, I want to bring out my one aspect of my interaction with Bhagwan. When I was growing up in Bombay, it was just one of our friends who introduced my parents and said, why don't you guys come to Bal Vikas? You know, send your kids to Bal Vikas. And, you know, we learned bhajans. And that's how my parents started attending bhajan sessions. And we just automatically got so much, you know, bhajans were the, you know, the invitation card for us, if you would will. You know, Baba just attracted us through bhajans. And my entire family became devotee of Bhagwan. And eventually, you know, my sister joined Anantapur campus. And I heard so much more from her. Like, you know, we still got closer to Bhagwan. And she had so many, she would come back from the, you know, the sessions, and she would come back and share these experiences. And that also kind of, I think, my parents became more and more convinced that, yes, you know, these are wonderful places of education, and kids, and all kids, you know, even my other, our other kids should get educated there. So I went for my, I think, after my 10th grade, I went for getting admitted to the institute. I went and wrote the exam, I gave the interview, and did not get it. So I was very sad, I cried, and I came back. You know, see, but how Bhagwan, you know, he doesn't give it to you that easy. And when I sat back and I thought over, you know, I pondered, I had 2 years before I could apply before for my undergrad. And I realized the only reason I went and wrote that exam was more to please my sister. Because she was saying, you know, if you come to Puttaparthi, I'm in Anantapur, so when I come down for festivals, I could visit you. You know, it'll be so nice, I'll have someone I could talk to. It is more, and you know, it's interesting. You know, I did not get it, though probably I did well. But, you know, those 2 years changed me. And I started thinking, and I think it with Swami's grace, I think I started asking some questions. You know, what is life? Why am I born? Where am I going? You know, these very basic questions came to me. And I think when you sincerely pray to Bhagwan, he answers. And it was after that, I think my 12th, I wrote a lot of, and I did write and apply to other you know, medical courses and stuff, but finally I got a call from Vrindavan, and I went and took that, and I think that is the best decision. I would say, you know, even if, am I allowed to say decision? I think it was his decision. I would always, you know, because, you know, my things were planned when I joined. I remember my quest to, you know, we always did things to get noticed in Swami's eye, you know, but he's present in everybody's heart and he's aware of everyone, you know. But, you know, on physical level, I had this, I thought, how could I stay close to Bhagwan? And as Phil Goslin mentioned, you know, and Brother Ravi mentioned, and we have all experienced this. Why did we go to Parthi, or why we always rushed back there? Swami never invited anybody, but it was that bond of love. And once you experience it, you're always, whenever you were in his presence, something within every one of us stole, right? And I always felt, you know, this is the destination. This is where I need to go. This is what I was waiting for throughout my life. So I got into the hostel. I asked, I think took Swami's permission, could I sing? And he approved, and I started singing. But before I reached that point, it was, you know, to tell you to what extent I went, you know, there was an offer, like, you know, there was a function coming up, and the teachers there asked that there was a float being put up. You know, they were trying to show the importance of Lakshmi and Saraswati. So there was a balance, and they showed that in this yuga, you know, Lakshmi was higher and Saraswati was down. Like, people were giving more importance to money. So it was a float which was supposed to go in front of Swami during a summer course. And you know, in 1 second, I thought, yes, you know, I want to do this. I'll get noticed. You know, Swami will see me. I didn't think twice that I would have to dress like Saraswati, like a girl, right? And what an amazing institution. Like, I never got, like, you know, in other places you could imagine, you know, things about bullying or, you know, people teasing you, but never ever that happened to me. But I was Saraswati, I got Pad Namaskar and, you know, things, and I saw that, you know, this is just a one-time thing. It would not happen again and again, but then I saw bhajans was one thing where, you know, you could go and sit always in front of Swami, and, you know, you always got that spot to sit somewhere around him and bask, you know, look at him. And so that's why, and this is a, you know, Swami's grace too, that I never learned bhajans, never got trained. Something within me told, maybe you should sing, you know, I can sing. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm a perfect singer, but somehow I managed to, you know, it was his mercy that he allowed, I think his grace, he allowed me to stay and sing. And then, you know, but, you know, that's not how a guru takes you. He takes you in his fold, but that doesn't mean, you know, he doesn't understand you through and through. Probably he saw everything through me. I thought that, you know, he took me in his fold, you know, I'm in his school, you know, and I'm good. And, you know, you pat yourself. But I didn't know that, you know, in future, it was, you know, all at appropriate time, he pulled me out and he fixed me. He took out all, you know, the darkest thoughts out from my mind. And that's what I was saying. In one of the a moment came when Swami once gave me an opportunity to, you know, accompany him to Kodaikanal. And I think that was the time reserved for me to deal with me more intensely, right? I mean, for that, before that period, I think for 2 or 3 years, I was singing bhajans. And, you know, as previous speakers spoke of, you know, even Ravi said about Kasturi, who declared that Swami, you know, did this miracle. But Swami came up and said he did not believe this himself, right? So something like that. And I think I was, I had my own personal problems. I joined the institute. Swami cured them. I became happy. And then, you know, eventually I'm having darshans daily. And I you know, this monkey mind, it makes you forget. I forget about his divinity. And, you know, doubts come in my mind. And that's what happened in Kodaikanal. So we were with him in a bus. We were all going, students, there were 30 of us traveling in the bus, and Swami was, his car was going in front, and at some point he stopped and he came inside the bus. And from somewhere he spotted me and he said, "Hey, you boy, you have some stomach problem." He said, "Indigestion." And, you know, I'm just smiling, and, you know, with that ignorance, you know, I'm thinking he's talking about my physical. And I'm like, I'm perfectly fine. I have no stomach problem. But he said, you know, indigestion. And he called me. He created vibhuti for me. And I can still, you know, when he, and he did not even give it to me in his in my hand. He directly poured it in my mouth. And it was still hot. I could feel the, as if it came from fire. It was hot. You know, this is how God, how he corrects, and how, but also if you're sincere, and probably I think I also had the sincere, you know, request to him to show me his, or, you know, help me. And at this point, I think I'd like to narrate how I got that faith in him, you know, unwavering, unshaking faith back. And there were multiple, you know, incidences where he showed me his omnipresence, his divinity. It was, I remember a small bhajan by Guru Nanak. You know, Guru Nanak saw a light which inspired him, which made him start a new religion, right? Sikhism. And Guru Nanak was such a realized soul, and I think that light was none other than Swami, right? That same Krishna took over the form of Sai, and he came to, and came amongst all of us. And how fortunate we are. It was in the Kodaikanal, I became a matter of kind of, you know, Swami sometimes picks, you know, we have a session afterwards, you know, fun moments with Bhagwan, and I think, but this just comes to my mind. He one day just said, and there would be like, you know, we are sitting in the main room, and I think that's where that picture was with Bhagwan, and, you know, we are all students sitting around, and there are VIPs from, you know, various big managers, MD, and I know there were, Swami used to call Pedda and Chinna Ramakrishna. I think they were from L&T. And at that point, I was there. And so one of them, he introduced me to them, right, saying, "Meet, he's Doubting Thomas." Or, you know, Thomas. Then the Thomas became very, and the moment Swami would say Thomas, everybody would laugh. Because people, you know, students knew that I'm not Thomas, you know, I'm Suresh. But, you know, there were VIPs who would say, "Swami, very, very nice." You know, they would just accept Swami saying he's Thomas, and they're believing it. And it went on for a long time. Swami kept pulling my leg. ender. But you know, during the course, and I think I'll sing this song where Nanak says, he knows everything. And you don't have to tell him. He knows without saying. And then, you know, many of you must have heard this bhajan, and it says, so in front of whom do you, you know, complain or tell, whom do you tell? It says, bin boleya sab kich janda, bin boleya sab kich janda, kis aage kije ardas, kis aage kije ardas, vahe guru vahe guru, vahe guru vahe guru. He says, awesome guru, awesome God, in front of whom, what should I ask? He knows everything about me. And so during those sessions in Kodaikanal, I knew that this would last for a month. And after that, we are going to go back to our hostel life. You know, I'll be back in the hostel and eventually back in the world, you know. And even though Swami, you know, nothing was hidden from Swami, though I was pretending that, you know, Swami, and, you know, I think, but I don't know which thought, you know, at what moment, at what point in time is that he caught on to. And he said, you know, he has that doubt, and he pulled it out. And he just, but you know, look at Swami. You know, we're talking about love walking on 2 feet. He never did anything which would, you know, he had his way was love. And there's no other way to, you know, describe it. And it was so, it came from that highest truth, right? Highest frequency, highest state. And it would always make its mark. He had the power to change anyone, right? And transform millions and millions of people. And here I was, you know, and I was praying, Swami, please. And in my, you know, that little mind, I was praying inside, Swami, please give me some, you know, I've heard of Swami giving, you know, rings and chains and stuff. And I knew they were very, you know, they could help you at the time of problem. And I was like, Swami, I want some protection from you. See, such a fool I was, right? I mean, I'm sitting in presence of Lord. You know, he's talking to us daily, morning, evening, you know, before darshan, after darshan. We are having breakfast, lunch, dinner with him. And even then, this mind, monkey mind, you know, or, you know, whatever in me is saying, you know, I want some protection from you, Swami. I'm scared about this body, you know. Even so, you can see how he was untangling me. He was breaking open my knots to this body, you know, attachment to the body. And then, you know, the next day, Swami was very serious. You know, I could see him. He just spotted me somewhere. He said, hey, boy, what do you want? He asked me this question, you know, Swami's way. You've heard this, how he asks. And I prayed and I forgot. And then he said, this boy wants a ring. Can you imagine, you know, without speaking to anyone? There were no phones, no cell phones at that point. You know, this is, I'm talking about 91. And he just knew my mind. Right? He read that thought. And this was probably in the evening, I think, after, you know, I must have pondered on, and, you know, I have to go. And Swami was also teasing, go to Bombay. You know, you have your friends there. Friends ka letter aya. He was, you know, Swami, you know, you're remembering, you're thinking of your mother, you're feeling homesick, you know, he kept, you know, Swami can ask you so many questions, but, you know, this thought came. So then he immediately waved his hand and came out a ring. He gave me a ring. There were 3 stones of, you know, diamonds on it, and he gave me, and I was, it hit me, and I was so happy. First, you know, my desire was fulfilled, and then, you know, and then immediately, how did he know? Like, you know, as if like he was inside me. Somebody from inside jumped out and, you know, he could. It was as if somebody was sitting in me. So he's Hridaya Nivasi. He, He knows each and every thought, what we think. So I was happy I had the ring. You know, not even a day passed, I think. And after one of the food sessions, we sat down and he called me and he said, "Hey boy, show me the ring." And I was sitting nearby, I think. And I thought Swami's going to admire and tell me something, give me some more, you know, or some message, something. He said, "Let me see." He took it out. It just vanished. He just blew it up in the air. And he said, "This boy did not like the ring." And again, his omnipresence, how he knows everything. So I think during one of the, session when I was ready to, so Kodaikanal is really cold. There's a lake in Swami's temple, and many of you have been there, I think, or you've seen it in the pictures. And at the nighttime, it really gets cold. And so Swami goes in his room, and outside there are these sleeping bags where we all, just bundle in and just sleep because it gets cold in the night. And I think one of that's inside that sleeping bag. Somewhere I must have seen it, like really, when everybody's not looking. And I got this thought. Somewhere this thought came, maybe I could have got a bigger ring, I've seen, people with like huge green or, shiny or some kind of, and it just, I think I was a fool. I thought this, but, for a reason. Swami had to teach me. And he caught and he just took it away. The ring vanished and he said, "See, this boy did not like ring." And then, for next, almost for a week or 2 weeks, it became, I would sing, Swami would say, "Bhajan Gaya," or, he knew I sing bhajan. So he would say, "Sing bhajan, ring gaya, ring gaya." And it would go on, people would laugh. And there was no sign of, Swami. And I knew that if Swami didn't want, who can tell Swami that, "Papam, give this ring back to boy, this boy is suffering." No, nobody can tell Swami anything. And it went on for really long. And there also, this Sai Guru had to teach me something, a lesson about confidence. And so one day he came back from visiting one of the, VIP's home. I think probably it was, he was looking at some project and he came back. And Swami was, in a very playful mood. He was just walking, sometimes Swami can be, he was just full of bliss. And then suddenly he stopped. I was down, he stopped in front of me. He just did his hand this way. And I think I had lost all hopes, after so long. I couldn't, as it is, it's so hard to speak in front of Swami. When he looks into your eyes, you're blank. You don't remember anything. And so I just kept my hands this way. And then Swami said, "See, no confidence. You have no confidence." And he read my mind probably at that point that I had lost all hopes that I will get back. But that gave me some hint. So I knew that, I got some hope, maybe I can get it back. And I was ready for the next chance. And the next chance came. One of the days when he came back and he did his hand this way, I was ready. I said, "Swami," And he just blew again and the same ring was back and I got it back. But then before, I think I should not forget this and mention that, another thing, over the years I've thought about it and he taught me, when the ring vanished, one of the sessions he caught me and he said, what do you want? He said, "Do you want diamond or you want Baba?" He pointed towards himself. And, it is very clear message to me. And later on, many times, I sit and think and, it sometimes corrects me, when I'm too much into, I would say material world, it reminds me that, I should not run too much. What's the aim of my life is to reach Swami. And that's what I should desire. And Swami also gives a very beautiful example of, later on, this is many years later, this literature came in my hands that Swami says, diamond means die mind. You have to, and how can you do that? It's just simply by taking his name, singing his glory. And these retreats are a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful chance to, again, think about Swami. And there were, and so just to continue my, you know, journey in Kodaikanal, where, you know, he had specifically those 30 days were really, you know, kept for me, and he grilled me really well. And then I think one of the days he just, when he saw, he did tell me, you know, doubting Thomas, and he said, no, he's a good boy. And, you know, when and he just, kind of everybody was there, and, you know, after that point, it suddenly stopped. And I still think about the consequence of that one act of Swami, and I think, oh my God, he really, you know, brought it out. He showed me the lesson, and he burnt out those thoughts. He removed all doubts. And then in the end, he said, you know, he closed that account. He said, okay, no, he's a good boy. No, he's not a doubting Thomas. And it's so, you know, important. I thought, like, you know, if Swami had left, you know, whatever he says happens. You know, we have heard of countless experiences where Swami says that, I will not say, you know, you've all heard of this beautiful experience by Brother Sundar, that he was bit by a cobra. And you've heard, you know, this experience from him. And when people endeavored, you know, officials at the institute kept telling Swami, he's bit by cobra. Swami said, it's just a thorn. And he just, you know, passed it. He never said, if Swami would have said, I know it's a cobra, that could have been a different thing, right? So he, you know, even his saying that it's a thorn just canceled all the effect of that cobra's poison and saved a life. And so I thought, you know, it was very important that he did that. I'm also going to, you know, two, three very important lessons he taught me in Kodaikanal. So as a singer, you know, I used to sing bhajans in front of Swami. And at that point, you know, because of the ignorance, I think, I always thought it's only because, you know, I take very good care of my throat. And so I would, you know, get up early, go to the mess where, you know, food was cooked for us, and I would go, and they all knew, you know, this guy's come for hot water. I'll take a glass of hot water, gargle, never ate pickle, never ate sweet, you know, and, you know, I'm happy that I did it for Swami and not for anything else, but the only aim was to sing for Swami, and I was always very careful that, though, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not claiming I'm a very big singer, but the thought was to, you know, always maintain good quality in front of Swami so I could get more and more chances to sing always. But, you know, never knowing that, you know, it was His grace and, you know, mercy, His love. Above all, love that He, you know, tolerated me and let me sing there. So one of the, and so what would happen in the hostel, generally, you know, we were served food, you know, we would walk by, you know, take chapati, little rice, sambar, every day, and then there would be some pickle at the end, you know, someone would be standing and he would say pickle, and, you know, I could never say no. So I would just take a little bit, you know, I would take two spoons or one spoon from that person, and in the end, you know, it would go into the garbage can, you know, I would never eat it. And, you know, Swami, you know, see, all-knowing Swami knew this. But He tells it in a very nice way, very loving way, you know. And so one of the sessions in the Kodaikanal, where He was physically present and He saw that, right? I took pickle and He came over my plate and said, hey boy, why are you not eating that pickle? And, you know, I didn't, again, you know, only folded hands. I couldn't say anything to Swami. Swami said, if you don't like, say no. Say, I don't like it. He taught me and He said, do not waste. In Swami's eyes, even that little pickle, you know, should not be wasted. And I learned that beautiful lesson, and then on I got that courage to choose. You know, if I don't want to, you will see me saying, so no, that's enough, you know, I don't want. And I try very hard. I'm not saying, you know, I always succeed, you know, but you know, I have two kids, you know, one, my elder one, and a younger 5-year-old. And it's amazing that, you know, I tell them and I also set an example. And most of the times if they leave something, you know, I'm the one who you know, jumps on and finishes it. So food, Swami says, and we all are aware of His teachings, I don't have to repeat them. Food is God, do not waste food, Swami says. There was another small incident which happened in Kodaikanal. And, you know, again, he was, showing his all-knowing, all omniscience to me, I was sitting outside the mandir where Swami lives, and in the evening we would have bhajans there. Swami would come, and then, you know, all devotees are sitting. And because, you know, we have just had a session with Swami, we were so busy. He would, you know, tell stories and you know, lessons, and you know, sometimes he, you know, with Swami it's always happy. You know, we were always smiling, laughing, and he would, and he's, I think there's no, I do not know Sanskrit, you know, I do not know Sanskrit, and I will tell you a very a good experience how Swami saved me once from, you know, embarrassment in front of everyone. But this was that bhajan day, and I was sitting outside, and as we came, you know, Brother Ravi Kumar was there, you know, Arunesh, and they were all getting ready, and, you know, usually we would say, okay, I'm singing this bhajan. And so Omkar session started. Swami had not come then, but I think he sent a word, start bhajans. And he was nearby somewhere, you know, driving in his car, ready to come. So I just pretend that I'm singing Om. So I was like, I'm not singing Om. Oms are going on. And I'm like, and in my head, I'm thinking, which bhajan? And I'm, you know, trying my shrutis and all that. And I'm ready, you know. And Swami walks in, Ganpati bhajan had started already. I think Ravi Kumar was singing Ganesha bhajan. And, you know, my turn came. I sang my bhajan. And aarti happened. We all went inside, sat on Swami. And as he was starting, you know, he would ask questions with everybody and tell. And suddenly he looked at me and he said, hey boy, why did you not sing Omkarams? It was like, you know, again that, and so it is like, you know, just to tell you that in my own experience, it was like, it was just in that, when he said that, it was like, oh my God, where was he? Was he inside me? I mean, he was physically present somewhere else, but he is aware of each and every thought, you know, he's Hriday Nivasi. That's what Swami said, you know, Draupadi called Krishna from, she called, oh, Dwaraka Nivasi, and it took him some time to respond. But if we call Swami from our hearts, he will respond instantaneously. He's there. And so, the time there was beautiful. I remember going back to with Swami to on way to Ooty, I think, and we stopped in Dalhousie Palace. And I, you know, that was at that point there, and had beautiful sessions with Bhagwan. And I cannot say, as Ravi Mariwala said, you know, we don't know what karmas we have done. I think it is just his mercy, his love. Nothing else but his love that he, you know, took us in his fold. And how lucky we are, right? I know many times Swami had, as you know, and he narrated some incidences about how Swami said about, what do you see, you know, do you see light coming out from here or, you know, my heart? And I think when you really think, and, you know, I always used to pinch myself, you know, I came back from Kodaikanal and I would say, Suresh, don't forget, you know, just look at, when you look at Swami walking, talking, you know, drinking water. And that's where, that when he mentioned doubting Thomas, that was my, that was, I think, the main doubts in my mind, because he just unconditioned me. When I was growing up, you know, reading all the, you know, stories and scriptures, you know, God's flying in the air, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, you know, and then you try to compare, and then you are trying to compare Swami with that, and those are the things he cleared, and he showed me that, you know, God can come in physical form, but that doesn't mean that he needs to disobey laws of nature. And how amazing. I mean, we have seen all these, you know, all of us have seen the video of Swami giving Vibhuti Abhishekam to, you know, Shirdi Baba. And, you know, it's amazing. Like, you know, I always watch these videos. And at one occasion, I was watching this with my five-year-old, and he was watching, and he saw that Vibhuti fall, you know. And then his, you know, innocent question was, Swami, Papa, why is that? Why does he has that, you know, yeah, that pot over it? And immediately, you know, and then, you know, that's what made me think, you know, just imagine if there was no pot and he was like showering that vibhuti and it would be like flying all over. It would be crazy. I think many people would faint there if they saw that picture. You know, look at the force of vibhuti. It's like pounding, you know, crazy. So that pot helped to channelize that thing back onto Shirdi Baba. And, you know, so God does miracle, but he, and, you know, most of the creations and materializations which Swami did, he had to literally blow on it to cool it down so that he could hand it over to us, right? And so these are the, you know, moments I've had with Bhagwan, and then, you know, I came back to Vrindavan and then Puttaparthi and stayed on to finish my studies. And I'm very grateful to Bhagwan to give me this opportunity to change me. You know, I was a small kid growing up in Bombay. I had my own weird thoughts about God. What is God? And he really, instead of me getting lost, you know, with into, you know, and going on to wrong path and wrong hands, I was so lucky that he just pulled me right in his fold and showed me what God is. And, you know, as Phil Goslin said, God is in our heart. He's in our heart. We all have to, all we have to do is, you know, see him in our heart. And that's the connection we have with him, heart to heart. And I would, I think, narrate few incidences before, and then I will not take much longer. I think it's already noon and already time for our, for everybody's lunch. But this was one of the summer courses, Bhagwan, which he used to conduct in Vrindavan. And Swami would speak nonstop for, you know, a long period of time, giving discourses on Vedas and, you know, and teaching real, what is the purpose of this life, how you worship God. And he answered so many questions. And I remember walking back from Vrindavan auditorium back to the hostel, I would be so charged. I mean, I it's like, you know, I'm not, I know the days when, you know, I'm walking back and the only thing which is popping up in my you know, inside is this nonstop Gayatri Mantra, because Swami had explained meaning of Gayatri Mantra and Om Bhur. It just nonstop, you know, look at the energy he showered and the grace he gave. It is so powerful. And so one of the summer courses, I got a chance to sing this bhajan. It compares the bhakti of Meera and Radha. The song goes, Ik Radha, Ik Meera. Dono ne shaam ko chaha antar kya dono ki preet me bolo antar kya dono ki drishti me bolo ik prem divani ik darsh divani ik prem divani ik darsh divani radha ne madhuvan me dhunda meera ne man me paya radha jise kho baithi wo giridhar राधा जिसे खो बैठी वो गिरिधर मीरा हाथ बिछाया एक मुरली एक पायल एक पगली एक घायल अंतर क्या दोनों की दृष्टि में बोलो एक जीत न मानी एक हार न मानी एक जीत न मानी एक हार न मानी. So before this function happened and we were to sing this song, you know, Warden and other lecturers had the opportunity to sit with Swami for a tiffin, like tea or coffee, before the function, like Swami would come over. Or even sometime if it's a late function, Swami would have probably dinner with the VIPs and then they would, you know, all come to witness the function. And before this function, when, you know, such one of the sessions where this function was going to happen, I think Warden mentioned that Swami Suresh Sharma is singing this. Swami said, he's singing. But if that swaras come out well, you know, he just said something. So Warden just rushed before the function. We are getting ready. And, you know, and he comes to me and says, yeah, but, you know, I think let's see how it comes out or something. He said that. And I knew in my mind, you know, I did not know that swaras very well. But that was enough. You know, I knew that, you know, I'm not going to do this. And that's what happened. And look at this, you know, Swami already, you know, they are telling to him, Swami Suresh is going to sing, or, you know, Ravi is singing, but he knows he's going through that session probably. And so when that song comes, Sagama Padha, Padhama Pare Maga, Gare Sane Kare, Regama Gama Pama Padha Padhani Nisare, But there, I missed. So then I continued. You know, I somehow managed. But, you know, actually, as Swami predicted, I just missed. I lost there. Sagama padha, padhama pare gama. Something, garare gare, gare sare gare became something else. And I couldn't finish it, actually. And even, you know, Swami, you know, so merciful and so loving Lord, before the function, when we went to take the Padnamaskaram, and I bent down, and, you know, I had the habit of touching his, even if his robe is there, I would remove and make sure I'm touching, you know, my eyes on his feet. And, you know, that day, you know, amazingly, I think he knew that he probably will not be able to take the, you know, shock of not doing it well. And he just, with his toes, he just pulled, you know, my nose a little bit. And, you know, so when I went back hostel and I'm thinking, but I forgot about the mistake. And I'm just thinking about that incident. You know, how loving is he? And I also, yes, his ways are, you know, unique. And one of the experiences I'll narrate and then I'll stop here. And this also, you know, to tell you a little bit about how he, you know, punctures or inflates your, you know, or, you know, yeah, punctures your ego, actually. So over the years, you know, I became 2-3 years, I thought, you know, I went to Kodaikanal, I came back, and I thought, you know, I am a bhajan singer. You know, you think you put that label on your shirt, you know, I sing bhajans in the Parthi temple. And Swami said, call your parents. So I called my parents. And, you know, every second with Bhagwan was so revealing. You came to know of his divinity. You only had to keep your eyes open, your, you know, ears open. And I did not know that. So the plans changed and my parents did not, you know, my mother came early, my father couldn't come. He had to come with my grand, because, you know, my grandfather came to know that we are going. Swami had called, so he wanted to accompany, so he had to wait. And I was not aware of all this. So Swami asked, are your parents coming? I said, yes, Swami, both are coming, you know. And I had no idea. He said, mother already came, he said. And, you know, I'm sitting in the bhajan and he knows. And I got that news from him. And he called me before, and then later on he called my parents. And then, you know, I went on to, you know, subsequent days I was there. I had to go to institute, but morning I was not there. My parents were there. He called them once again without me. And so one such session, I think they must have, and you know how fool we are. We tell Swami, we tell him all our problems. And I think one of them said that, Swami, he sings bhajan also. Swami said, I know he sings bhajan, but he's a parrot, he said. He sings like a parrot, Swami said. And you know, So when my parents told me, I was so happy. I was like, yeah, Swami remembered me. You know, I didn't bother to think that he called me a parrot. But you know, with Swami, you know, his love, if you have experienced his love, I know once he slapped me. I mean, just, you know, with, you know, jokingly, he pats, and my dad was next to me, and he came back and he said, you know, I wanted to get that slap from him. Can you imagine people, you know, everyone wanted that pat of him, you know, a word, or it is just pure love. And then, so when he said, but you know, this put me on the thought process later on, you know, when my parents left, and I thought, and I really started thinking why he called me a parrot. There must be a reason. And when I really, you know, started thinking, I never bothered or pondered on the meaning of a bhajan. I was singing, you know, Hey Krishna Madhava, you know, Achyutam Keshavam, and I never understood meaning. And that's where it put me onto that path, and so lovingly, you know, and even, you know, my elder son's name is Pranav, and the younger one is Soham. And I thought so much before giving them any name, you know, myself and my wife, we thought, no, we need to give a good name. You know, I'm not saying, you know, always everyone can have that, but, you know, this kind of became my, you know, I talked to someone, I tried to ask and understand the meaning. Even like a Chinese, I remember, you know, a week back, there was a Chinese postdoc who came to our lab, and he introduced me, and there was another guy helping him, you know, because he just came from China. So I went, you know, later outside and asked him, do you understand, or, you know, what's the meaning of the word Wu? His name is Wu, and I was like, what do you mean by Wu? And he explained to me it meant like warrior or, you know, some other, and it gives you some, you know, but that became, it's become my habit now. And because of that, I've understood Swami's message also well. When I read books, you know, I don't understand, and I, you know, I quickly Google, I try to pull out some text, and so much. You know, during this process, I landed on a beautiful, you know, bhajan by Eknath. And then, you know, every word to me was foreign, you know, because this is in Marathi. And, you know, Marathi saints, you know, Eknath, Tukaram, the lineage from Dattatreya, you know, they all have composed beautiful abhangas. And, you know, in our own, we sing this bhajan, Panduranga Vithale Harinarayana, Harinarayana Govinda. Panduranga Vithale Harinarayana, Harinarayana Govinda. So it goes on and on. I mean, these bhajans, and one of them which I, you know, I liked so well, and it just, you know, my attention caught it, was Guru. And this is composed by Eknath. And so first, you know, to let you know, if I had not thought on this meaning, and I read so many beautiful, you know, incidences connected to this, you know, song, this bhakti movement by Eknath. And he has composed this bhajan, Guru Paramatma Pareshu, Guru Paramatma Pareshu, Aisa Jacha Dridha Vishvasu, Aisa Jacha Dridha Vishvasu, Guru Paramatma Pareshu, Eka Janardani Guru Deva, Eka Janardani Guru Deva, Yethe Nahi Basaushaya, Guru Paramatma Pareshu. So when I first heard this bhajan, Eka Janardani Guru Deva, I thought there is only one Guru, and he's, you know, Janardana, he's Krishna. And here there is no doubt. You know, Yethe Nahi Ba Samshaya. Samshaya means doubt. And then when I started reading his life story, I found out that name of his Guru was Janardana. And so whatever he composed, he gave credit to his Guru. So in all his compositions, you will find he mentions Janardana. But you know, see his devotion to his guru, it was so strong. And he saw Krishna in his guru to that extent that Krishna, the song goes that if you have so much faith, I think Krishna himself took, I think, disguise of a maid and stayed in his home and served him to listen to his abhangas. So that is the, you know, intensity of his worship and faith, that God himself came down and stayed. So I think I'm forgetting that last couplet. And swaye sanchara tyache ghara devataya ancha ankila. He's praising his guru, that his guru is like God. And he's saying, devataya ancha ankila swaye sanchara, swaye sanchara tyache ghara, swaye sanchara pareshu pareshu. And if you take it, it actually also means, if you can apply the mystic meaning, it just refers to your body, which is your, you know, the temple where this God will come and install himself in your heart. So if you have faith and if you worship, he will come and install. So we are so lucky, I would conclude, that we have Guru of Gurus, you know, Swayam Shiva Shakti Avatar, that same Krishna Shakti. He came and took upon this beautiful form of Satya Sai, and he gave this so many wonderful experiences. And, you know, Brother Ravi and Phil Gosselin shared so many of these loving experiences and took us all to that, you know, high level. And we pray to Swami that, you know, he showers and fills with his love, and we continue to bask in his love for the days to come, and till we reach our goal, which is nothing but love. And with that, I would end my talk. Sai Ram to all of you. Sai Ram.